Talk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
All the caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned, because you know I got a bunch of that stuff.
You're still in the process.
I'm still in the process always. And with me we have my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good. Today's a big day.
Oh my God, today's my 50-year high school reunion.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
50 years ago today I graduated.
You're getting old, Lindy.
I think about it, I was 17 years old. Like, oh, I knew nothing. I thought I knew everything. So it's going to be via Zoom. It's like from 1 to 5. So after the show, we're going to go back to Lynn's house. Lynn goes, I just want to stand behind the screen and see all your friends and see what they look like.
See how good we aged and how they did.
So it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. But just to think about that, wow.
It's frightening.
So laughing with us, you hear Bernadette Holman from Arden Court. So glad that you're here today.
Thank you for having me.
And excited that we have Dr. Tan Cummings calling in a little while. But first of all, I want to say, Bernadette, come closer.
Sorry, okay. Is this better?
So first of all, I want to say a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Sienna in Ohio, Juliet in St. Pete, and Veronica in Tampa.
Well, welcome, ladies.
Welcome. And like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen to the show live or on podcast or YouTube or wherever they'll take us. We're very excited about that. And I want to ask you, if you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, please do, because the more subscribers, the more visibility we get, the more tips I'm able to bring to people. So if you go to Connecting Caregivers Radio on YouTube and subscribe, would make me really happy. And I think it'll make you really happy because you'll find so much information on there. There's like 2 years of tips. There's like 4 years of radio shows. And now my latest podcast is Connecting Caregivers Presents Candid Conversations with whoever I want to talk to, which is kind of cool because I bring so much to the table to my caregivers. It's like caregiving, caregiving, caregiving. That I want this podcast to bring something else to the table. So like the first one was on genealogy, and then there was one on gratitude, and we're going to do some art projects, and then just like fabulous people that do fabulous things. So
oh, I have a chance to get on then.
Oh, God. Well, let me see. What's my calendar?
And we have Avery. And Avery's with us.
And we have Avery on the boards today.
Woo-hoo. How you ladies doing?
Joyful and grateful and glad to be here. I'm really glad to be here.
Glad to have you here.
A lot of exciting things going on also because I now have our presenters booked for our conference. Our caregiver conference will be November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th virtually, 5 sessions a day. And we'll have Dr. Tam Cummings, Dr. Kate McCarty, Seasons Hospice, Dr. David Bernstein and Melissa Bernstein, Officer Joel Quattlebaum, Dr. Delon Canterbury, who's a pharmacist, Pastor Kurt Seifelt is going to talk about spirituality and caregiving. We Are Dementia Strong, you know, Maureen and Brian, Coping with Dementia with Debbie Salsavage, Sustainable Caregiving with Teresa Wilbanks, Attorney Stephanie Edwards, and Liberate Physician Services, and maybe a few other treats. So I'm very excited. I participated in a conference like this in January. And there were actually 800 participants.
Wow.
So I'm thinking we're going to get like 1,200. Fox News has made a commitment to promote it, and Channel 10, and I got to find a connection at Bay News 9.
Well, they said if you build it, they will come.
They will come. And you know what? My caregivers, I find, have a lot of connections now, too. Sometimes you just have to ask.
I saw you at the bridge with Michelle Lowak when they lit it up.
Yeah, last Sunday night, Father's Day, they lit up the Sunshine Skyway Bridge purple for Alzheimer's,
yes.
Which was very fabulous and very beautiful.
That's for the longest day, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I was really glad to be there. But I think we have Dr. Tam Cummings on the phone.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Joyful and grateful. I am so glad that you're here with me today. Dr. Tam has so much to teach us. I have heard her speak and chatted maybe four or five times live, and then once a month she's been doing seminars with Arden Courts, which we always promote to the hilt, because the more education we can get, mm-hmm. the better it is. And you're just so fabulous, Tam. I'm so happy that you're here with us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm delighted to be there. And of course, I know y'all aren't in South Florida, but certainly our prayers are with
Miami
right now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you always think you have challenges, and then you turn the page and you see what someone else has, and you're like, okay, I'll stay in my little box. I really don't have too much.
And Bernadette Honan's here today with us.
Yes.
Good morning, Tam.
Hi, Bernadette. How are you?
Good. Thank you for doing this podcast. This
people.
Yeah. So, Tam, what do you want to talk to my listeners about today?
So, Linda, I thought we would cover some scales that are used, and these tools help families, I think, get a better idea of how advanced their person is, understand the progression of the disease process. These tools also help the family, help the doctor see what's actually going on at home, because, Linda, you and I know people with dementia don't look sick until they've lost about a pound of brain tissue.
Right.
So for a long time, people think, well, if they're really sick, they'll look sick, and they don't. So just as a get us started, dementia is the umbrella term for a group of terminal brain diseases. There are approximately, it's thought to be about 128 identified types of dementia. Nine of those dementias are approximately 98% of all the dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing and understanding which dementia your person has and then which form of that dementia your person has is all very, very important to helping you, the family caregiver, have some of your anxiety relieved, because it really is brain damage. It's not happening on purpose.
Right.
And I think even though a lot of times information about dementia is so hard to hear, it's critical for families, because the more you understand the disease, the more you understand they're reacting to the damage that's occurring in their brain, and it's progressive. It doesn't stop, but it tells you why they're doing that strange thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
These tools help families understand that.
So, and I think it's so important to have those tools, because I tell you every time people come into the caregiver support group and they go, I don't know where I'm at. And some people say to me, I don't even really know what my loved one's diagnosis is. And I think it's so important to get that diagnosis, because if I went to the doctor and the doctor said I had cancer, I'd be like, where, when, how? But we don't always do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We ask 30 common questions if the word is cancer. If the word is dementia and they say come back in 6 months, we go, okay, because no one's taught us differently.
Or right. If I remember to come back.
Yeah, that too is a joke that frequently after people leave the doctor's office. We hope they remember. One of the tools is the Instrumental Activities of Daily Living. It's the Lawton-Brody scale. That's the two doctors that invented this. And the Instrumental Activities of Daily Living, Linda, what happens when you and Bernadette and I see a family member look at the IADL is we see usually a look of shock as the family member realizes, I'm doing all of these things for my loved one.
Right.
So the Instrumental Activities of Daily Living are actually graded, and this is what those things are. That is the ability to use a telephone, and that includes being able to operate a phone all the way down to doesn't even recognize there is a telephone anymore. Shopping, whether a person can take care of their shopping needs independently or whether they're completely unable to shop and there are steps in between. Food preparation.
Mm.
Housekeeping, laundry, being able to use transportation, whether it's driving a car or understanding how to use public transportation, being responsible for taking medication.
That's a big one.
Medication, refilling medication, and the ability to handle finances. Now, we want families to fill this tool out, because this tool usually is a slap in the face to the caregiver of, oh my God, look at what I have slowly over time began to do for my loved one. And it's not because your loved one's bad. It's because
they can't do it.
What happens when the brain becomes infected by this disease and begins to be destroyed? These are the things lost first.
Well, you know, Tam, I think it's a funny thing. For a long time, I had to educate caregivers on who they were before I could help them, because I'm not a caregiver. I'm the faithful spouse. I'm the good daughter. Mm-hmm. And I think when we put these tools in front of them, it changes a whole perspective.
I think it does. And I think it also begins to make the family caregiver aware you're not just doing the work of one person. You're actually doing the work of quite a few people.
Yeah.
And once we pull all the tools together, family members really begin to realize you're exhausted in stage 5 of the disease. And stage 5 is when you should be calling Bernadette. That's when people are qualified to be in a community.
Right.
Stage 5, you're already doing the work of 10 people. And a group of those 10 people come in every 8 hours ready to start over fresh and clean. And you're doing that much care and you don't realize it.
No.
Once you begin to use your tools, when you look just at the IADL, that's an awful lot of work you're doing.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so one tool is the instrumental activity to daily living. And what you do is you check off where your loved one is. And when you go to the doctor, when you go to the community, you take that with you. And that gives a clear picture of where your person actually has declined to, regardless of how they look.
Well, it's good for them to have this guide because I don't think they know what questions to ask.
Exactly, exactly. Now, the next tool is the physical self-maintenance tool. This is the activities of daily living tool. This is also called Dr. Katz's scale or the Katz scale because Dr. Katz invented this scale in the 1950s. In the original scale, you could either do it or you couldn't. You could either toilet yourself or you couldn't. This is now broken down into 5 stages for each function of the activities of daily living. The activities of daily living, the easiest way to think about it for me, Linda, is it's what I did this morning.
Right.
I transferred. I rolled over, came to a sitting position, and then came to a standing position. The first thing I did was the first thing every one of us do. We ambulate to the toilet. Then we do our bathing, our grooming, our dressing, our eating. Those are our ADLs. And that's the care, Arden Courts, that's what Bernadette team does for your loved ones. They're doing their activities of daily living for them.
Yes.
They're assisting them as they decline. But this tool is especially important for family because this clearly says to the doctor, I don't care what he or she looks like, this is what he or she is able to do at home.
Right.
And you have to take a deep breath and be honest with yourself. Your person can either toilet themselves completely with no incontinence, or if they're having accidents, they're now having accidents and you have to move down in the scale. And if you think it's challenging, Linda, to remind someone to toilet, there's still 3 more steps down to complete incontinence of bladder and bowel. So we have to be honest with ourselves about what our person can actually do. Mm-hmm. When I stage a person with dementia, I'm typically more advanced in the staging tool than the family is.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the emotional connection.
Right.
You have to remove that emotional connection of that's my mother, that's my father, that's my spouse, and write down, check off what you're actually seeing.
And that's very difficult, I think, for people to come to that realization.
What I found, I've actually had them have multiple family members fill them out and compare them. I actually recently did that.
That's a good idea.
At a tour that I did for a family, and they were shocked how different their answers were, but how similar, and in the combination that they realized how advanced their mom really was.
That's a fabulous thing to do with the family.
Yes, because you know how families always are, they're fighting against each other that no, mom doesn't need that, and dad doesn't need that, or they're not ready for a community, but they're not the ones actually doing the hands-on care.
Right.
And when they actually see this tool together as a family unit, I think it helps bring that
And when they may realize what their sister or whoever the person is taking care of their loved ones, because there's always the one designated daughter or whatever,
right,
then I think it can bring to light to the other family members what is going on.
Or the families are out of town and they're just talking
really
to
have no idea.
They're hearing a snippet of the parent on the phone or their loved one, and they're thinking the caregiver is just
crazy,
exasperated, and they just,
well, because when mom gets on the phone, she's like, hey, I'm all good.
Yeah, she's like normal, but they're not asking true questions,
right,
things that will really show that that person has a problem,
exactly,
or physically watch what they can and cannot do. So this is a great tool. Thanks for sharing it, Tam.
But Bernadette, what you said is so true. I did this with a family last week. The two of the children are out of state. The two people, the two people that are actually doing care, the child and the parent doing the care, are exhausted. The out-of-state children see the mother in FaceTime. She doesn't look sick. They do the social conversation. Hi, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? How's the weather? Oh, it's fine. Did you have a good day? I had a great day. Oh, it's fine. And they see the mother's actually cognizant. And the two that are doing the care are now beginning to be exhausted by the amount of care they're doing. So they all filled out the tool. And when the out-of-state family members saw it, they were shocked.
Well, you know, not only they are exhausted, sometimes they get to the point where they're angry. The caregiver, you know, not only am I exhausted, I'm getting a little angry, so it's nice for the rest of my family to see what I'm really going through.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in the staging tool that we're going to look at next, tells you how much brain tissue is estimated to be gone at this time and what is the mental equivalency of that person. So you're exhausted as a family caregiver because by 5, you're taking care of somebody who has the equivalency of a 4-year-old, but is a full-sized adult person, and that is the equivalent of 15 professional caregivers' jobs for one 24-hour session.
And imagine if the caregiver is 80 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And Linda, I know you see it. I know Bernadette, you and I both see it routinely. The family caregiver comes into the community, and they are actually in work. Physical and mental shape than the person who is terminally
has
terminal diagnosis of brain disease, and it's from exhaustion.
Yes. All right, so let's talk about these tools so we can help our caregivers a little bit more.
Okay, so we've done the instrumental activities of daily living. As the family caregiver, will realize that that's the thing you've taken over first. You begin to do these duties for them. Then the next thing you begin to do is you begin to help them dress. You begin to help them do their activities of daily living, and you might have reminded somebody to go toilet. You begin to help somebody get undressed or start their bath for them. Slowly, you begin to take over the ADLs. And then we have a couple of tools to measure the actual stages of dementia. So dementias are measured either on a 3-stage tool or a 7-stage tool. The 7-stage tool is a greater breakdown of the 3 stages. The 3 stages are really intended for neurologists to use.
Okay.
Just as a quick and general reference. Most of the time, people with dementia are not diagnosed until the final stages of the disease, the late stage, which is stages 5, 6, and 7. Most people in our country are not diagnosed until stage 5 because not because the family caregiver is a bad person, but because they simply couldn't get the doctor to see it, or
right.
they couldn't get their person to agree to see the neurologist. So it's not anybody's fault. It seems to be a weird quirk of having brain. But the staging tool that we're going to send you today, there's two of them. One of them is for frontal temporal dementias. Those are dementias that are primarily attacking the frontal and temporal lobes. The second one is for the rest of the dementias. It's the Dementia Behavioral Assessment Tool. It starts with us, Linda. We're stage one, and that's because all staging tools must have a baseline and normal. Most of us are going to age normally. Most of us will never develop dementia. Dementia is a disease of aging, but it is not normal aging. That's something Bernadette and I have to remind ourselves of because we work in this field.
I hear you. Myself, too.
You come home, you walk in a room, you don't know what you went in there for. You're like, oh, my God, I caught it, too. And you know that's normal brain function.
Yeah.
That's stress.
You have to name every single kid to get to the name of the kid.
Yeah. My mother did that.
Yeah.
That's just normal brain function. That good-looking actor, you can't, you can see his face, right? You can feel it in your tongue. Oh,
yeah.
Thank God for Google.
What movie did they play in?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's your brain trying to go through the files. I take a deep breath and I say, okay, this is not dementia. How did I learn that actor's name?
Right.
How did I get to know that actor? And my brain goes, oh. Brad Pitt, he's in the Jennifer Aniston file. You were looking in the Angelina Jolie.
And we have a lot of files.
The older we get.
Yeah.
And the older we get in normal aging, the thicker and richer those files get.
Yeah.
And then after a certain age, your brain meets somebody named John, and it goes, you know what? I don't need to know another John. I know 30 Johns. I'm never going to see you again. Big deal. Bye.
Yeah.
And a little bit later, you go, oh, my God, what was that guy's name? I have dementia. No, you don't. Your brain just doesn't care that his name was John.
Exactly.
Big deal. All right, so you and I are stage one. We're aging normally. We expect that we will live and die at home. We will never require care. Stage two is called mild cognitive impairment. This stage, it's not known when it starts. It's not known how long it lasts. It's thought that it could begin as early as the 20s or 30s, and it just takes decades before the disease does enough damage that it's noticeable.
All right,
but not really known. Stage two, the person... Yes.
Before we go to the next stage, we have to hear from our wonderful partners. So can you hang on? We'll be right back.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the TanTalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Everyone at one time or another experiences so much stress, physical, emotional, and mental, that their brain seems to freeze in place. Lauren McLaughlin has been an emotional support coach for over 25 years and was also a caregiver for her husband John for 10 years. Emotional support coaching for caregivers is all about having the freedom to say out loud, without fear of judgment or criticism, all the random thoughts that have gone in and out of your mind. Many caregivers receive enough help in one session to create their own healing plan. Others may want a bit more coaching, but Lauren McLaughlin has a maximum limit of 3 sessions. If you sincerely want to build a new future, that much coaching will be more than enough. All sessions are on Zoom for 45 minutes. Contact Lauren by email at godbless@tampabay.rr.com to set up an appointment for your caregiver support coaching session. Caregiver support sessions were previously priced at $45. They are now available to our listeners on a love offering basis. You decide what price you want to pay for your personal session.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
So you know what I say, caregivers, when someone offers to help you, say thank you very much, right, Tam?
Absolutely. Let them help you. You have children. Your children are afraid of you. You're still the parent. Give them something to do. People think you've got it all together. Tell them, come do my dry cleaning. Pick it up and drop it off for me. Could you do my shopping? Could you come do something? Make us a pie. Make us a cake. Give people things to do to help you. It makes everybody feel better.
Well, you know, I find it's very funny with caregivers. They're like, oh, this is my responsibility. Only I can do this. You think you're the only one that can do laundry? You think you're the only one that can make some dinner? Please, let somebody help you.
You know, Linda, Bernadette, explain, go through how many people are involved in care. And then, Linda, let's let the caregivers check off how they're doing all these jobs.
Okay. And can I just say one thing? If any of you caregivers have any questions, please call into the show at 727-441-3000.
I'll repeat it.
Yeah, 727-441-3000.
Okay, so if you're a home caregiver versus a community such as Arden Courts, you have, in our community, you have the caregiver. You have a nurse on 24/7. You have a housekeeper, you have a maintenance man, you have the activities director, the activities assistant, you have the administrative staff from the executive director, the marketing person, the bookkeeper, the receptionist. We all
nurse.
Are a part of that care, whether it be social interaction, the physical care, the paperwork that has to be done that you do at home, the physical tasks, laundry, cooking, shopping.
Yeah.
We do that all. So if you count off how many tasks that you do from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, and in the community, who does what role, that's then one less thing you have to do. So that's why when we tell families when they move in, that they're part of, we're an extension of your family.
Right.
And we're taking over the caregiving role, and now you can be the daughter, the son,
exactly.
the wife, the husband, whatever caregiving role that you were at home with extra duties. It's like you're having 10 jobs plus being a caregiver.
Right.
And
that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of jobs.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, when I was looking after my husband, I was underpaid.
Yes.
It's true, but you know what? They want to be, I think your loved one wants their daughter back, wants their wife back. You know, you don't always want your daughter to be wiping you behind or doing stuff.
Well, and that's what we ask families when they come in, do a tour with us, that they're coming to us for a reason. They're not just coming to take a look.
For the fun of it, right?
They're thinking about something. So we have to pull from them and say, okay, what does that day look like when you can no longer take care of your loved one? What is it that's going to be your breaking point that you're like, and when this happens, I can't do it? For men to be in the incontinency stage with their spouse, they can't do it. For a wife that her husband may be 6'4" and she's 5 foot nothing,
yeah.
And she can't, if he's at risk for falls,
right.
She's at risk for falling with him. And so you have to pull a lot out of families. Tours that we used to do, when I'm with the company almost 19 years, when I first started, a tour could take me anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. Now I do a tour and it's an hour and a half to three
right.
hours. And the three-hour tour is literally a three-hour
tour.
Because you're not only touring the community, you're uncovering what are their needs. You're uncovering what's going on with them, what's going on with their loved one, what is it they're looking for, what is their needs, what is dementia, what is your understanding of
yeah.
the disease process. And they don't realize that this is a neurodegenerative disease. It will get progressively worse. They,
right.
you know, they. The problem with dementia is that the person looks normal.
Right.
So it's hard for
and
them to come
around.
Right, and they can't comprehend that this is a sick person, and so they get frustrated and angry. As you were talking about somebody that you know closely with Parkinson's, that. Come on, you can do it, but it's like, but they can't. It's, but they look like they're well enough to do it. But, you know, if somebody's got a broken arm or a broken leg or they're, you know.
Because it's visual.
You can see it, so you have a little bit more compassion and empathy and, you know, giving them more patience. When you can't see the damage, you don't see it. Phone call.
Do we have another caller on the line? Hello?
Yes. Hey, Linda, this is Beth Douglas.
Hi, Beth.
Hey, I had a question for you guys. My mother, actually, when she was going through the later stages of dementia, had talked about, she actually made a bad joke about, where's Dr. Kevorkian when you need him? And I didn't know how to appropriately respond to that. I know when people are faced with their own mortality, is there a proper response for that kind of comment that comes out?
I'm going to leave that to the expert, Tim Cummings.
Tim? Me too.
Toss that to Bernadette. There are certain dementias that have a very high suicide risk. And so any mention of suicide is always something that anybody who's thinking normally is going to take seriously. The families that have Huntington's dementia have the highest, most successful suicide rates, and this is because it's an inherited dementia. If the child doesn't show symptoms, they're diagnosed at the age of 18. If they choose to be, they have a 1 in 2 chance. They either have it or they're a carrier, meaning that they can't have children because they'll pass it on. They also know what parent they got the dementia from, and if that parent began to show symptoms in their mid-30s and died in their early 40s, that will be very much their own trajectory. So Huntington's people have the highest suicide rate. Next is people with Lewy body dementia. There is a crashing depression that occurs in Lewy body, where the brain appears to stop using or making serotonin, mm-hmm. and without serotonin, human beings will seek to end life. So Lewy body people have a very high risk. Other dementias like Alzheimer's, they will make comments about, I'm losing my mind, somebody just shoot me, or I just want to die. But the difference is we tend to see those statements made in stage 5 of the disease, and in stage 5 there's now about half a pound of brain tissue gone.
Yeah.
And the person makes that comment, but then very quickly, a second later, that thought process is gone.
Right.
What we always want to do is make sure I'm sure y'all can tell from my drawl that I'm in Texas. people here certainly do have weapons. So if there are guns in the house, we encourage families to have the police or the sheriff's department come out and remove the firing pins so the gun looks normal, but your person can't actually do
right.
anything. And for the most part, it is a passing comment that humans seem to make who have this disease, but there is not a lot of
validity?
Ideation is there, but well, the ideation is there. So anybody saying, I want to end life, that's a suicidal ideation.
Yeah.
Next step is, do they have the means and the ability? So for most people with dementia, that is a stage 5 behavior. Those two specific dementias, we would be watching carefully to support that person. But in most families, it's just a passing thing, and we would address it as, oh my goodness, of course not, what would I do without you? And then a big hug. We'd try to get through with that. So does that answer everybody's question?
A quick question, though, Tam. With the regards to the Huntington's and the Lewy body, if somebody in that situation, should they be put on maybe antidepressants? Should they be on a closer, like, watch? Should they be,
yeah.
you know, what are some, especially if there are listeners right now that, you know, I think a lot of people don't want to know because they're that fear of the unknown. And if they get the diagnosis that they, you know, a lot of people do say, even those of us in this industry, if I get it, I don't want to live, you know, because we see the devastation. So what is the recommendation on
you would, it? You would absolutely notify their physician. If you thought something was imminent, you'd be calling 911. But you would make appropriate steps. So there wouldn't be medicine laying around unlocked. There wouldn't be guns laying around that could be accessible. And those we know have the highest, most successful suicide rate, but it certainly doesn't mean that's what everybody does. That's not going to happen in most people. But most people with any dementia are going to, at some point in time, make a comment about, I'm losing my mind, I just want to kill myself, or where's Dr. Kevorkian when you need him, or I'm going to buy a round-trip ticket to Norway, join the Hemlock Society, and kill myself. Mm-hmm. A very elaborate plan that really, why do you need to get to Norway to kill
myself? Right.
So always frightening to families, and we just know to pay more attention to those two groups specifically. And then any person who hears their loved one say that, you just want to watch and make sure that it was just a fleeting thought and it moved on, and that there's not actually an ability around to make that happen.
And I think in your response
are ready for memory care when they're considered a danger to themselves or others. But the danger to themselves is not suicide. The danger to themselves is they've refinanced the house, and they've done in doing so have lost a lot of money. They have given money away, hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. and millions of dollars. They've given away all of the family money. They're letting strangers come into their house. They're giving money to the kid that they shouldn't be giving money to. The drug-addicted grandson's living with you taking the medicine. They're not eating safe food. It's those types of things. They're driving a car. That could be a danger to themselves and to others.
Yeah.
So in stage 5 of the disease, when you realize that even though this person doesn't look sick, they're actually missing half a pound of brain tissue, it begins to change how you see your role as a caregiver. You're now the caregiver for somebody with extensive brain damage, and that brain damage requires care in a medical facility. It's not that family caregivers aren't wonderful. It's that it's a medical disease that requires medical assistance and care. And well, what concerns me is not the person with dementia at this point. Concerns me is the family caregiver,
yeah.
Because the death rate of the family caregiver after COVID is estimated to be 3 out of 10 family caregivers will die first because of the direct result of the stress of care that you do.
Wow. Does that answer your question, Beth?
That scares me.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, on an emotional level, my response to my mother, who has since passed, was, you know, Mom, I love you so much, and I'm so glad you're here with me. But I understand that you're sad and you miss Dad, my father. And I would just want you to know I'm here for you. And I love spending time with you. But it was really hard to know what to say because you don't want to make a joke out of it. You want to validate their feelings.
Right.
I think you did a good job.
And let them know that you've hurt them.
I think you did such a good job. You should put that on a card and we should pass it out to everybody.
I thought it was a perfect response.
Supportive. It recognized that you miss your husband of decades. I mean, a lot of times I think we don't realize people with dementia do grieve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Linda, do I have to get back to our staging tool now?
Yes, please.
Well, trouble
thank
on your
you.
Thanks, Beth.
Okay.
All right, so in stage 2, this would have been something the person with dementia noticed, but frequently no one else in the family does. And they have fleeting moments of, oh, my God, something's wrong with me, and then they quickly regain themselves and go on. If you were watching, we were told in school to look for someone who appeared befuddled, the befuddled professor look. And thank God we'd all seen the Disney movie, or that wouldn't have made much sense to us.
Yeah.
Stage 2 is now called mild cognitive impairment. Stage 3 is where the word dementia is used for the first time, and stage 3 is thought to last between 1 to 4 years. 1 year would be somebody with early onset Alzheimer's or one of the FTDs that's very aggressive. Some of the vascular dementias are very aggressive. Stage 3 is where the spouse noticed something was wrong. Very subtle. And one of the odd things about dementia is people with dementia don't realize that they're beginning to do things wrong, that they're answering the question wrong, that they're reading the environment wrong, that they heard that word wrong. Just tiny subtle things, And it would be difficult for you, the spouse, to even point it out to the doctor, and the doctor would not see it unless they were skilled, unless they were specially skilled as a dementia specialist, a neurologist who's a dementia specialist, a Jerry psych person who only does dementia.
Mm-hmm.
They might see it, but this would take the full battery of testing.
Yeah.
You, the spouse, noticed this, and being a good spouse, you brought it up to your loved one, and you found out that universally, if you say to any human being, I think something's wrong with your memory, the human being's response will be to bite your head off. It is a unique human response. If you said, hey, Linda, I noticed you're limping. Does your hip hurt? You would say, why, yes, my hip hurts.
Thank right, right.
I said, hey, Linda, looks like you're not remembering stuff.
What are you talking about? You don't remember anything either.
Same thing in people with dementia. And then my favorite thing is the family member who says, I got mad at him because he didn't tell the doctor he's having memory issues.
Yeah.
Do you hear the problem with that logic? Okay. Stage four is also the middle of the dementia. This is called moderate dementia. Some of you might have had your loved one diagnosed and the doctor said they have moderate dementia. That is stage four. At this point, 4 ounces of brain tissue have now been lost. This person has the, at the beginning of stage four, the equivalent of adulthood. By the end of stage four, they have the equivalency of a 12-year-old. This is typically when the adult children visiting notice something is really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the person makes the elaborate plans for suicide that involve getting a round-trip ticket, flying to Norway, joining the Hemlock Society, and then killing yourself. But their immediate recall still works. They're still driving a car, they're still going to work, but they're starting to get in trouble at work for not completing tasks.
Right.
They're beginning to, you're seeing a hesitancy in identifying family members or objects, just a fraction, just a little something. You're beginning to notice that the joke teller's jokes are not quite on. Their timing is a little off. You might even begin to be hearing stories getting mixed up now.
Yeah.
It's called confabulation, and the person is slowly beginning to lose their IADLs here, and they're very slowly starting to have their ADLs affected. They can have normal cognition for days and then suddenly appear quite confused. They are beginning to have stumbles and falls, and they are adamant that nothing is wrong with them, and if you try to bring it up even as a let's just get the doctor to look thing, you're going to get a lot of feedback and blowback on that makes it very difficult. They begin to make lists. Now, Linda, when I say lists, there are two people in the world. There are list makers and non-list makers.
Right.
List makers make shopping lists, grocery lists. It's a normal thing to do. These are lists of the names of their children, the names of their grandchildren, their address, their phone number, and it's written down over and over and over.
Yeah, or when my sister died, or when my brother died, those kind of lists.
Yeah, list of things that are things that they should know, and it indicates that on some level the person is somehow recognizing that they're losing things they should know.
Tam, we need to hear from our sponsors and come right back, please.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors, so you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Tam Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
You know what this means? It's time to get your paper and pen because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you, right, Lynn?
I do. To RSVP for any of the following events, please go to lyndaburhans.com, send Linda a message, and she will send you the link. On July 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, is a free dementia virtual seminar with Tam Cummings.
Yay!
It's a monthly education series. On July 1st, it's going to be really about what we were talking about today.
Yeah.
So, what does the behavior mean? Detailing which behaviors are unique to specific dementias and addressing challenging behaviors. Mm-hmm. And then Debbie Selsavage, president of Coping with Dementia, is having a live seminar in Citrus Hills at Grand Living on July 14th.
Yay, live!
August 11th and September 8th. Please call 352-422-3663. Whoa, that's a way to read
it.
You got it. I spit them all out.
Or just email me and I'll send you the information.
You'd probably be better off doing that.
All right, Tam, the floor is yours. We have like four more minutes.
Okay, so stage five is divided into two sections, an earlier part and a later part. And this is when family members really begin to be impacted by the care they're giving. Bernadette said earlier at this point, I think she listed 14 people that are now responsible for doing that care.
Mm-hmm.
Person's in memory care versus what you, the caregiver, are doing at home. You are exhausted because you're actually doing the work of a whole bunch of people who come in every 8 hours ready to do that job fresh and clear.
Right.
Stage five is when it is becoming more and more apparent to you, the caregiver, and to those that are close to you that there's something wrong here. This stage is called moderately severe dementia. Now, to family members, I've had them call me and go, well, it's not bad. The doctor said it's moderately severe.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, my God, it means I have a pound of brain tissue's gone.
Yeah.
They now have the mental equivalency in the beginning of stage five, a 12-year-old, in the middle of stage five, an 8-year-old. By the end of stage five, that is a 4-year-old person intellectually. One of the places where families get hung up in stage five, Linda, is wanting to involve their person in the aspects of care. And this person has severe brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
They are no longer part of the conversation, but you, the caregiver, you know what they would have wanted for care. And that's
right.
How you make your decision. It's based now on their medical needs. They need medical assistance now. They need 24-hour care.
Right.
Stage five, they're disoriented but can quickly look like it's okay. But they're very busy. They're hunting and gathering. They're going from place to place to place and picking up stuff and moving on with it. They can pass the MMSE, which is the mini mental status exam, and that's not at all uncommon because it's not a cognitive test. Your person may be beginning to nap or sleep excessively.
They're able to follow cues and instructions. You may have somebody who has sudden outbursts of laughter or tearfulness that are unexplained. They may have catastrophic results if you insist they take a bath or get dressed or clean up from having an incontinence activity episode. By late stage five, they're now incontinent of the board. They're beginning to have difficulty recognizing themselves in the mirror. They're beginning to be challenged about who their family members are. They're losing enough brain tissue now that they're confusing the daughter with their mother. They're beginning to answer automatically, yes or no, without really understanding. They're beginning to be challenged if they have to do rehab. There's beginning to be a lot of visual impairment as well as hearing impairment, not because of new glasses or hearing aids,
right,
but because of brain damage.
Okay.
By stage six, they now look sick. They've now lost a pound of brain tissue. They are shuffling. They are bent. They are falling. They are losing weight. They are staying in motion. This is where 36-hour day term comes from.
Right.
They can stay awake in movement. And you and I can't do that.
No way.
And stage bowel incontinence begins here. Stage seven people are bedbound people. Most people with dementia will not live to be bedbound. Most people will die in stage five or stage six of heart attack and stroke.
Bless them.
You are not a bad caregiver for thinking, I wish this could be over today. I wish my loved one could just go on, because this is such a terribly difficult disease for you, the caregiver, and for your loved one. Okay?
Whew.
So start in stage three. Look at what year it was. You notice those things. Check off everything you see. When you're stopped checking, draw a line and date it. And then every 2 months, look at all your staging tools again. Don't look at it every day, Linda. It'll make you go nuts.
Yeah.
You think, I've got it. I've got it. All right?
Thank you so much, my friend. Thank you for being here today. And we so look forward to you being the keynote speaker at our conference in November.
The 2nd.
November 2nd. Thank you, Tam.
Thanks, Tam.
Thanks, ladies.
Where can our listeners find you?
TamCummings.com. If you need me, call me. If you want to ask a question or something, send me an email, but put your phone number in it.
And when Tam says that, she means it. She's helped a lot of my caregivers. So thank you for that. We appreciate you.
And then they can also go on the Arden Courts website to see some of our past webinars.
And you can go onto the Arden Courts website to see some of her past webinars and whatever. And I will keep always bringing you good news about Tam Cummings. So thanks so much for everybody tuning in today. I know how precious your time is, especially if you're a caregiver. We're here every week with lots of good news, Tip Tuesday's tips, and Tuesday's podcast. Remember that God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Keep your head together and call my name out loud now. Soon I'll be knocking upon your door. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Spring, summer, or fall, yeah. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you got a friend? People can be so cold. They'll hurt you and desert you. Will it take your soul if you let them? Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, baby, don't you know about winter, spring, summer, or fall? Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. you've got a friend.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.